It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning, America. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm guest hosting this week for Sandy Rios. It has been a real delight to be here with you this morning and yesterday and Monday and tomorrow. I'm an election attorney. You may have seen me on TV. I'm the head of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. It's a nonprofit charity devoted to fighting for election integrity and against voter fraud. Frequent guest of Sandy's. You may have heard me before. And you can follow me on Twitter at electionlawctr. That's electionlawctr, like center, but CTR. And we're going to be taking your calls this hour, 1-888-589-8840. We have a fantastic guest coming up in the next segment. So much is happening in the country. We talked about it this week with riots and Marxists and monuments and all of the chaos in American streets. The mayhem and bloodshed, unfortunate killing of people indiscriminately in the urban centers, including children. And all of this is being done deliberately. This is not some sort of accident. It's people who hate America. We talked about that extensively. People who hate the Constitution, think the Declaration of Independence is a celebration of white supremacy. All of that crazy stuff. But you might wonder, where do you go to do this? Like, how do you join up? What's behind all of this? And our guest is going to be David Horowitz. David Horowitz has a new book out called Blitz. I love the name of this. It's Blitz. Trump will smash the left and win. And he's going to talk about his new book, Blitz, in the next segment. And the great thing about David Horowitz, guys and gals, is that he grew up in a communist household. Okay? It takes one to know one. And he grew up, his parents were hardcore communists. He was active in the far left movements of the 60s and the 70s, the Black Panthers. And then he saw the light. It's kind of a redemption story, political redemption, where somebody who hated America came to love America. And that's why his insights are going to be so interesting. But we're hearing, can you believe it? We're almost in mid-July, and there's teachers who don't want to go back and teach. The president said, we've got to get kids back in school. The Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, said yesterday, schools have got to reopen in the fall. And that might make a lot of sense, but as everything else in America these days, there's a whole group of people out there who live in the alternative world, who live in the not-making-sense world. But see, it makes sense to them, and that's something I want to impart, that just because it seems so clear to you doesn't mean that they're dumb. It means that they have a totally different way of viewing the world. And take, for example, Fairfax County, Virginia. Fairfax County is one of the largest school districts in the entire nation. The entire nation. There's like 1.6 million people in Fairfax County. Well, you would think that they would have the wherewithal to go back to school in the fall, but that's not what's happening. This is how crazy it gets. The school board gave the teachers a choice. You can do 2 days a week, or we're going to have remote learning. Oh, wait, I forgot to tell you something. Fairfax County tried remote learning, and it was like the Hindenburg. Remember the blimp, the German blimp that caught on fire and crashed? They had remote learning, this multi-school board budget of probably $100 million, and they couldn't do remote learning. It crashed and burned. They had people logging on shouting profanities and racial slurs. at the teachers. No one knew who they were. They all had like fake names. So they totally bungled it in the spring, remote learning, and the kids got to sit home and turn into mush. They got to log onto their devices in Fairfax County. That's how they learned, is they stared at the television and watched shows. Fairfax County crash and burn education. And by the way, this isn't just Fairfax County. This is going on all over the country. I'm just using Fairfax as one example. So it's summertime, and they said, hey, we want to go back to school in Fairfax County. And they say you either do 2 days a week or you do remote learning. Of course, some of you are saying, well, what about just go back to school? What about just like 5 days a week, like normal world? Oh, all three choices have been rejected by the teachers in Fairfax County. They refuse, mind you, these are employees, to go back to school. They refuse to do two-day learning. And they refuse to do remote learning because they say it doesn't work. Their choice is to chill. They just kind of want to not do the teaching thing in the fall because of coronavirus. Oh, they want to get paid. Don't think otherwise there. They want their money, but they kind of want to chill. And see, folks, don't underestimate how much that is driving the back-to-school question. How much the chilling factor is influencing the decision about coronavirus. Because we know how to mitigate coronavirus. We know how to reduce its spread. And by the way, kids are like the least likely to be involved in spreading and getting. But, you know, the education system, hey, they got other priorities these days. Maybe if the school districts everywhere were to announce that school have mandatory in-person social justice teaching and gender identity indoctrination, oh, the teachers will run through the doors. We're back. We're here. It's cool. We thought you wanted us to teach history. That's why we wanted to stay home. Or, well, we were going to have to say the pledge or talk about George Washington or the Americans liberating the concentration camps or World War II. See, we didn't want to do that. It's sort of like the protests. No one's allowed out of their house. No one's allowed to go to a store. Everything has to shut down. Oh, of course, unless you're going to protest the United States. You're allowed to go out if you knock over Christopher Columbus statues. You see how this works now? You guys get this. So what got us here? That's a good question. I can't say right now, but I know a couple of things. The virus came from China. The virus came from China, and China, the Chinese communists, didn't tell the truth about it for a very long time. They allowed the virus to proliferate. They actually told the World Health Organization that it wasn't transmittable among humans. Seriously. They told the World Health Organization that their data showed that the virus was not transmittable among humans. Thank you, China. Good work. See, that's what communists do when a disaster strikes. Anybody see the documentary, or I'm sorry, not a documentary, docudrama on HBO about Chernobyl? Anybody? That was quite an eye-opener. You have a nuclear meltdown taking place. And the entire apparatus of the state is designed to deny it's happening. And once everybody knows it's happening, because they're getting radiation in Sweden, the entire apparatus of the state is designed to minimize the truth. And that's exactly what China did for months. For the first 2 months of this breakout, they were lying to the world, and it made it worse. And here we are now, can't go to restaurants, teachers don't want to teach, mobs in the streets, law-abiding citizens at home, all because of this virus. Oh, China's in the news today for other reasons. It's in the Washington Times. Chinese intelligence agents and diplomats are actively subverting U.S. policies through, get this, bribery, blackmail, and covert influence operations. Oops, I have just tripped the Chinese communist word-searching software. I'm now in the files. Hi, China. FBI Director Christopher Wray said Tuesday in a major policy address that there are large-scale intelligence activities by China in the United States. Oh, here's where it gets real good. You know, you tune on NBC News, flip on CNN, Washington Times, quote, Chinese pressure campaigns have resulted in American news outlets self-censoring their coverage in ways designed to avoid upsetting the Chinese government. American news outlets are changing their content to keep the Chinese communists happy. Welcome to American 2020. I wonder if that has something to do with all the coverage we're getting about coronavirus, too. Could that possibly? Maybe the effort to blame Donald Trump might have something to do with this. Let's shift blame. It's not the Chinese fault. Maybe it's Donald Trump's fault, says NBC. What did the administration fail to do, says CNN? Instead of, what did the Chinese government fail to do? See, we get all the wrong questions asked when the bribes start getting paid. When the intelligence agencies go to work to influence American thought and public opinion, we start to get skewed questions on national news shows, don't we? Now, you aren't going to get that here. You're not going to get that on Sandy Rio's show. But by golly, if you tune in to MSNBC, you would think that Donald Trump was down in his basement. What was the Munsters? Remember, grandfather used to have that lab down in the basement? And there's Donald Trump down in the vampire's lab cooking up the coronavirus. That's what you think if you watch MSNBC. But we know otherwise. We know the truth. We know that this is a Chinese virus. We know that the Chinese want to overthrow the United States as the world superpower. Oh, let's keep kids out of school for the next year. Let's let their brains turn to mush. Let's hook them up to their device IVs so they can play games all through the fall. Yeah, let's do that. That sounds like a real good plan, teachers. That sounds like you will push America into the 21st century and create a whole new generation of budding young scientists who will create devices to prolong, save, and enhance life because they've been playing video games. See how this works? China plays the long game, folks. They don't seek instant gratification. They worry about the structures. They look at the world over the course of decades and centuries, and they know that's how change takes place. It doesn't happen all at once. So, David Horowitz is coming up. We're going to take your calls at 1-888-589-8840. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios today on American Family Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. David Horowitz, he is the author of the new bestseller, Blitz, Trump Will Smash the Left and Win. How's that for a name? I like that. It's optimistic, if nothing else, right? So we want to take your calls, 1-888-589-8840. Will Trump smash the left and win? That's an open question right now. Imagine America. Imagine this country with a president who puts the rioters and their friends into the government. Just imagine that. I mean, remember, there are mainstream people. There are lawyers running around New York throwing Molotov cocktails. Oh, true story, they were arrested. Imagine a world where the people on the streets are now in government. That's the issue we face in November. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios on American Family Radio. Up next, the great David Horowitz. Former leftist, now conservative, talking about his book, Blitz, Trump Will Smash the Left and Win. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you're a pastor's wife, come be encouraged and renewed as we talk about the challenges and stresses unique to pastors and their wives.
The AFA Fishbowl Retreat is coming October 6th through 8th to the beautiful Linden Valley Conference Center in Linden, Tennessee. During this time of turmoil and uncertainty, we feel it's even more important to support our pastors. So come enjoy 3 days of relaxation and encouragement with your hosts, Pastor Bert Harper of Exploring the Word and his wife, Jan. Our special speaker will be AFA Executive Vice President Pastor Ed Vitagliano. Lodging, meals, and materials are all included in your registration. But hurry, space is limited. Register today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 300, or visit repairingthefoundations.net. Once again, the website for more information or to register is repairingthefoundations.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'd love to see you there.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Timothy Shea, acting director of the Drug Enforcement Agency. His office is tasked with combating drug trafficking and distribution within the United States. Deuteronomy 31:6 reminds us of God's protection. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Timothy Shea as he works to protect the people of the United States. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
These challenging times have shown a college degree is more important than ever. But if the loss of Virginia's tuition assistance grant for certain new online students is holding you back, Liberty University is here to help. We're stepping in to replace your lost VTAG funds with our LU TAG award and combining it with a $3,600 undergraduate transfer student scholarship or our already low first responder and military discounts to save you up to 60% on your degree. We've got this, Virginia. Learn more by texting LU TAG to 49595. That's LU TAG to 49595.
A group of Virginia construction workers mighty upset after the state told them to take down a large American flag. The flag had been placed on the side of the new General Assembly building, about 50 feet wide, 20 feet long, displayed to celebrate the 4th of July. But state leaders feared the flag would end up becoming a target for Black Lives Matter protesters. So they told the construction workers it had to come down. A spokesperson for the Department of General Services said that over the past few months, vandalism has been reported around Capitol Square, and they feared the flag was a target for people protesting racial injustice. State Senator Ryan McDougal said the decision to take down Old Glory was outrageous and said whoever gave the order ought to be fired. You know, it's a mighty sad day in our nation when the red, white, and blue have to be hidden. There was a time in our history when those colors never ran. I sure do miss those days. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning, America. Good to be back. I'm J. Christian Adams subbing for Sandy Rios this week. It's great to have you here, and I got to tell you, it is a real thrill to have our next guest. You guys are in for a treat. Not only is he a great author, but he has a new book that you really need to get and read, and it might have the best title of any summer reading book this year. It's called Blitz, Trump Will Smash the Left and Win. It's the latest book by David Horowitz, a giant of the conservative movement. Good morning, David. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Christian. My pleasure.
Well, David, I reviewed Blitz, and what stood out to me beside the title is how you basically arrived at exactly the right time. Your book is a recap of the entire Trump presidency, how we got here, how the unhinged left basically wants to destroy the country. And I don't think I go too far when I say that. And then we arrive at this moment with Burning Cities. And I think the book is exactly the book for the times. What's going on out there? What would you think
is Democrats the explanation? Burning it's Democrats burning cities. My book has been endorsed by the president. It's number 8 in the nation. Unfortunately, it's being sabotaged by Amazon. If you go up to Amazon, it says it ships in 1 to 2 months. When they put that sign up first, I was at number 10 on Amazon. Now it's 52. It's a direct sabotage attempt at the book by some leftist inside Amazon. It's what conservatives have to deal with. I see my book as a guide to the civil war that's engulfed us. I point out in the book, a good part of the book is about how the Democrat Party is a racist party. Identity politics are racist politics. They judge you by your skin color, your gender, your sexual orientation. They erase individuals. It's totalitarian. I think the thing that's making my book such a big seller is the fact that, you know, as you know, Christian, I was raised by communists and saw the evil of the left from the inside and swore that I was never going to sugarcoat what I had to say about the left. I was going to tell it. It's a phrase of the 60s, tell it like it is. So in my book, Blitz, you get the unvarnished reality. I explain why the book starts, as you know, with an explanation of how come Trump was described as a white supremacist. Actually, you know, during the campaign before he was elected, and ever since, Donald Trump was a public figure. Everybody knew who Donald Trump was for 30 years. Nobody ever thought of him as a white supremacist until he ran against the Democrats. And the reason is the Democrats have a dirty secret and scandal, which is actually at the center of the massive destruction that we've witnessed in our country and the violence and the murders that we've witnessed in our country in the last 6 weeks, really. And that is that the Democrats control 100%, have 100% control of every major inner city in America. Every injustice that's done or allegedly done to black people in the inner city, Democrats are 100% responsible for. And they have to intimidate people from pointing this out. And they do it by calling them racist. They call George W. Bush a racist. They called McCain a racist. They called Romney a racist. That's the way they protect what I would call their criminal operation, the atrocities they're responsible for. If you look at just, you know, what's happened since the death of George Floyd, we don't even know how he died because there hasn't been a trial. The knee operation of putting your knee on the neck of a criminal resisting arrest, which is what he was, is standard police operating procedure in a city 100% controlled by Democrats. There isn't a Republican in sight in Minneapolis. And even the officer who put his knee on Floyd's neck is a Democrat.
David, you recognize the power of language. The Democrats use the word racist to cancel out opposition. And I have to tell the listeners that you are probably one of the great writers of the time as far as using the power of language to explain things. I'll never forget one thing you said that has changed my life. You said, stop calling them liberals. They're not liberal except about anything except sex and drugs. They're leftists. Don't call them liberals. Yeah. Don't give them the benefit.
And spending other people's money, they're liberal with that.
But, now, you said something
that's in a very important point, Christian. What's holding us back as patriots, because that's what this is really about, patriots versus anti-American radicals, and in that I include Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, or not, even if they're just appeasing the radicals in their party, what they've done is treasonous. And Adam Schiff, too. I mean, look at this bounty, the alleged bounty that Putin put on American soldiers. unverified, classified intelligence. Whoever leaked it is a traitor. It's a violation of the espionage laws. Adam Schiff had possession of this leaked treasonous information since February, and he held it for 5 months, waiting for an opportunity to use it to attack Trump. That's treason. Nobody right. wants to use the words treason. Nobody
I'm
wants
on
to
with...
say the big problem in our country, the root cause of all this violence is a black crime wing. Everybody's scared to use those words. Black males are 6% of the population, and they commit 50% of the violent crime, mainly against other blacks. Every one of these so-called civil rights cases, none of which is really a civil rights case, involves a criminal resisting arrest.
I'm on with David Horowitz. We're talking about his new book, Blitz, Trump Will Smash the Left and Win. David, you talk about what makes Trump different, and you talk about how he doesn't just try to say things that people agree with. What makes him different? What does he do differently from most politicians?
He fights back. I fell in love with Trump on the first debate, Republican debate. The first question, which wasn't a question, it was a vicious attack by Megyn Kelly on Trump. And what she said is, you called women fat slobs and pigs. Every Republican in Christendom would have run from that and shuffled and tried to make excuses. Trump didn't bat an eyelash, and he said, only Rosie O'Donnell. And I said, here's a guy who can take the heat and deliver it back to them. And it's the inability of Republicans. How many Republicans do you know who call the Democratic Party a racist party, even though they control all the inner cities in America, even though they're picking a vice president based on skin color? What Republican? There's one. It's Donald Trump. And he did it to Elijah Cummings, who was the head of the Oversight Committee. And these black Democrats, they know they're all protected by their skin color, just the way Obama has been. So Elijah Cummings was humiliating the acting head of the Homeland Security over the children who were detained at the border because their parents were breaking the law and crossing illegally. And Trump, and of course the Democrats were calling them cages, even though it was Obama who created them, and even though they were well-treated in that situation. And Trump said, called out Elijah Cummings, just reamed him out and said, your district is rat infested. It's 100 times worse. It's a hole. And you haven't taken care of it.
The book is called
Republicans Have to Fight.
Right. The book is called Blitz, Trump Will Smash the Left and Win, by David Horowitz. You're listening to David now. David, what gives a former communist like you a unique perspective to write a book like this?
Well, I was actually never, I was 17 when I saw that the Communist Party was, I never was a member of the party. My parents were card-carrying communists. I think when I came out of the left, you know, I saw how evil it was. When they were slaughtering, when the communists were slaughtering 2.5 million Indo-Chinese peasants, there wasn't a single demonstration. I understood that the left was never an anti-war movement. It was an anti-American movement. And of course, I left the left in part because the Black Panthers killed a friend of mine. But I swore when I came out of the left that I was going to talk to the left using the same language they use to describe Americans. I like the slogan, hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today? How many blacks has Black Lives Matter murdered in the last 6 weeks? And how many before it's over? It'll be thousands. This campaign against the police is so disgusting. These men and women go out every day and risk their lives. There's no evidence whatsoever that blacks are singled out, that the cops are racist. There's no evidence. All the statistics show the opposite. In fact, they show that black police are more likely to shoot black, white police more likely to shoot white, and we're talking about criminals, and Hispanic cops are more likely to shoot Hispanic criminals, which makes kind of sense. But this canard against the police is costing the lives of already hundreds and will be thousands before it's finished.
David, we've been talking a lot this
poor
week.
Poor black people who don't have gated communities to live. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we've been talking a lot this week about the left and limiting principles. And what, first of all, do they have any limits? Are they, you know, when does it end? When do they get what they want? And my theory is it's not until we're all disappeared. And secondly, what can regular people listening across America to this interview do? I mean, one of the things I suggested is don't sit there silently if somebody says something to you in public, you know, bashing Trump or attacking your values and thinking you agree with it. What can they do, and what does the left, do they have any limits on what they're capable of?
No. First of all, they're idiots. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, this has been repeated over and over again through history. Yeah, the leaders of Black Lives Matter are Marxists. They support the terrorists of Hamas. They're brain dead. Our streets are filled with kids who just don't know any better. I mean, they're having a good time. They think they're in a revolution. They've been miseducated from kindergarten through graduate school because the Republican Party and the conservative movement has ignored the takeover of our universities by ideologues. Our universities are now a disgrace. I'm speaking of the liberal arts schools, the ones that teach you about society. When I spoke at Dartmouth, I asked them, if they had a course in the Cold War. And they said, yeah, it's taught by a pro-Soviet Marxist. So America's the villain. This is Dartmouth. They paid $60,000 a year to go to Dartmouth. Don't send your kids to Dartmouth. Set out to ruin them, but they don't know what they're doing. Look, Seattle showed it. They occupied Seattle, and it was Lord of the Flies time. It's just the inner savage came out, which was entirely predictable. It happens every time they form liberated zones,
Well, the book is called Blitz, Trump Will Smash the Left and Win, by David Horowitz. David, I'll tell you, if there's one thing in the brief time we have left that you could tell Americans what they can do to fight back, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah. By the way, there's a chapter in my book, Blitz, called Green Communism, because that's Republicans are always being nice, calling them socialists. They're communists. They're going to put you all in a gulag. Part of the Green New Deal is to confiscate gasoline combustion engine cars. I looked it up. There's 276 million cars, and they say they have to do it in 10 years to save the planet. How can you do that without instituting a police state? And
right,
if you
look,
well, look. They actually...
David, thank you for joining us. We're running out of time,
right,
folks. The book is Blitz. Trump Will Smash the Left and Win. You're listening to American Family Radio. I'm J. Christian Adams, subbing for Sandy Rios in the Morning. We'll be back with your calls next. So 1-888-589-8840. Want to hear from you. 1-888-589-8840.
Friendships is offering an amazing opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God. Learn relief missions, experience the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you've been looking for? Check out Seahawks' one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session starts August 10th. Mission Outreach, the Middle East.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, and I want to encourage you to join us this weekend. We're going to be continuing our Encountering Jesus series. We're going to be looking at the life of Jesus as he ministered one-on-one to individuals. And this week, it's the woman at the well. We're going to see the power of Christ's forgiveness, his reconciliation, and how he invites us to worship in spirit and in truth. You can listen on this station or connect with us at foiradio.org.
For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The Supreme Court issued its Obergefell decision 5 years ago, yet it remains as unconstitutional today as it was the day the opinion was issued. God alone defines marriage. Consequently, we will continue to promote and celebrate marriage as the exclusive union of one man and one woman, as it is the only objective definition of marriage that produces human flourishing. It places children's needs over adults' desires, and it affirms the right of every child to know and be raised by their mother and their father.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Ryan Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. The state of Washington fined three of its electors $1,000 apiece for voting their conscience in 2016 instead of voting the way Washington wanted them to. The Supreme Court gave their opinion on this case this week and said Washington gets to force their electors to vote against their own will for the candidate of the state's choice. But this ruling is misguided. Elections are always free of coercion in the United States. Nobody can be forced to vote against his own judgment. When he is casting his ballot, the issue is between him and God and nobody else. That's why we jealously guard the sanctity and privacy of the voting booth. These electors in Washington changed their mind after they were chosen as electors. But people change their mind about their preferred candidate all the time. On this one, the Supreme Court is wrong.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. FBI Director Christopher Wray yesterday became the latest senior U.S. government official to warn about the Chinese Communist Party's unrestricted warfare against our country. He described a vast, comprehensive, and highly successful effort to steal our classified proprietary and personal information in the service of the CCP's pursuit of global domination. Such warnings are welcome, but clearly much more needs to be done. For instance, the fact that the FBI has only 2,500 current counterintelligence cases involving the PRC suggests a wholly inadequate response, even if a new one is being opened every 10 hours. We have to start rolling up and shutting down the perpetrators of such operations in this country. The obvious place President Trump can start is by ejecting more than 20 communist Chinese military companies currently doing business here. Do it now, Mr. President. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Hi there, I'm J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios this week. Thank you for joining us. Glad to have you. If you'd like to call in, and the number is 1-888-589-8840. We'll be taking your calls. So what about that? David Horowitz says that the left will basically stop at nothing, that they don't know what they're doing. They're like automaton robot idiots, is close to what he said, and that they just want to destroy. Is that as bleak as it gets as a picture? I guess the book title, Trump Will Smash the Left and Win, maybe there's some optimism, but I will tell you that it is a world that we did not expect, did we? We're going to take your calls, 1-888-589-8840. Let's start with Karna in North Carolina. Karna, how are you this morning?
I'm great.
I just listened to David Horowitz on your show, and I have finished reading his book, Blitz, which is excellent. I once heard that it's going to make you angry, and it sure does. But I'm also half through his book, The Shadow Party, which I would recommend people read because it sets the whole foundation and stage for way back when Cloward and Piven and all of that communist Marxist Hillary Clinton, George Soros, how they have destroyed and are working. And the plan, you can see where the plan is still at work in destroying this nation. And I would recommend people read it. And one other comment I have, when Barack Obama left office, he moved down the street into this big mansion, took Valerie Jarrett with him, and he started the OFA, Organize for Action. And there is an Organize for Action mentioned in the Shadow Party book, but he seems to be left out of the equation of the part that he has played in organizing for action. And that's what we're seeing happen. And you can see the agenda, Cloward and Piven. You could see it, how it's all been laid out for years, and they're still working at it mighty hard.
Well, thank you for your call, Karna. It's interesting, you know, David, he talked about growing up in a communist household, and that was what makes him so potent as a writer. He has a lot of great books. Some of them are very magical, and I enjoy them greatly. And, you know, when you're in that world, you learn about these people. I was at the Justice Department, you might remember, the Civil Rights Division, under both Bush and Obama. I did that new Black Panther case, and you really got a glimpse of who these people are, like how it is that they don't think the law should apply equally. And I wrote my book, Injustice, 10 years ago now. It's hard to believe. And you see a lot of the same sorts of things that I warned about beginning to happen. And Horowitz is on top of that too. You know, most of you guys have like real normal lives, okay? You have hardworking, normal, productive, whether you're at home taking care of children, retired, or on the job, you have regular lives. You cannot underestimate the infrastructures of the left on the other side who oppose your values. They have like entire webs of nonprofits where their career is transforming the United States. It's not making things, or it's not building things like homes or working in a bank or whatever you do. It's not that sort of productive thing. It's actually to undo the nation. And they have businesses and funding streams all set up to do this. Of course, you've heard me say that before. So taking your calls at 1-888-589-8840. I'm J. Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios. We're going to Ann in Arkansas. How are you doing this morning, Ann?
Hello. I'd like for you to explain the difference between a communist and a Marxist and a fascist. They all just kind of run together for me, and I'll hang up and listen.
Well, first of all, let me tell you what they have in common. In the end, they want to destroy liberty, so you can start from there. But let's talk about the difference between them. A communist is basically somebody who believes a system of government has to be set up that has total central command and authority on every issue, on who you vote for, on where you work, on where you live, who can buy food. It gets down to stuff that simple. You talk to people who lived in communist regimes, the people who were part of the party got better food rations. So communism is total control of your life through government. And if you disagree with it, you end up in a gulag or you get shot in the back of the head. That was another favorite in the Soviet Union. The Black Marias would come at night and take you away, and you'd end up with a bullet in the basement of the local jail. So that's communism. Socialism is a little bit more benign. It's basically command control over the economy. In other words, in socialism, the economy is run by the government. It's not a lot different than communism. Maybe with a smile. It's communism with a fake smile. Let's put it that way. Fascism is a lot like communism. It's hard to tell the difference. One maybe waves like a red flag and the other a black one. But fascism is total control by the central authority. If you disagree with it, they will shoot you. The one difference between communism and fascism, at least historically, particularly comparing Germany and Soviet Russia, is that the instruments of industry were still left to make micro decisions. Fascists realized that you have to have a powerful industrial base, and they didn't try to eradicate and redistribute wealth. In other words, the fascists still had the Krupps and the other families that were rich and ran the businesses. That might be the only difference. The communists will take those same families and they'll put them in the gulag and annihilate them and liquidate entire families. That's what the communists do because those people were rich. That might be the only difference between communism and fascism. They're both bloodthirsty. They both repress liberty. They both destroy the churches. Communism does it right away. Fascism kind of like gets to it eventually. But those are big differences, if you will, between communism and fascism. I hope that answers your question. Okay. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm on for Sandy Rios in the Morning this week on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls. Heard from David Horowitz in his new book, Blitz, How Trump Will Smash the Left and Win. We're talking about all sorts of things affecting the country. And I want to hear from you. What do you have to say about what's happening in the country? Let's go to Quintarian, Texas. You differ on statistics that some people are more liable for crime. What's up, Quintari?
How are you doing today, sir?
Good. How are you?
I just want to say right quick, I'm not about Black Lives Matter. I'm not about any of that nature. I am a Christian. However, I just disagree with the statement that a young man, David, made earlier about statistics. Well, what statistics is not going to show is the temperature and how the mistreatment is. I work for the city of Killeen, the purchasing department. So working there, I see the payouts. I see certain things that they pay out because of the mishandling of individuals. I see that. So I just beg to differ about the statistic part aspect of what he said.
Right. I appreciate your call. I'm glad you brought this up because I don't know the statistics. I also do know something that I think that it is true that some police are acting aggressively and excessively with certain African Americans. You'd probably agree with me on that.
Yes, I do agree.
I do too. And I don't think that that is part of a systemic system. I think it is a problem that we can fix. I'm also an optimist. I don't think you have to throw Christopher Columbus in the Baltimore Harbor in order to get police to start treating people with the dignity and respect that they deserved. And you know what, Quint, I don't know if you were listening earlier this week, Quintari. I had the solution for this. You know what it was? It's a golden rule. Treat other people like you want to be treated. And good things happen. Isn't that right?
That is right. Could I just say one more thing just right quick?
Sure thing.
Okay. So the next thing I want to say is that, you know, even a systematic thing, it is real. And like I said, I'm not trying to start anything of that nature, but the systematic injustice, it is real. And I just want you to know the one that people are fighting for, it is a real thing, because the United States is the only state that says that, okay, I love living here. I love living here. But the United States is the only country that labels us by color. I go to China. They say, are you American or are you Chinese? I go to any other country. Are you this or are you that? Here, you have 15 labels, and it's all by skin color. African-American, white, black, Asian, and things are real. So I just want to put that out there. I don't want to take a lot of your time.
No, you know, I appreciate your call because you raised something very fascinating. You know, on the census form, they They want us to identify ourselves by skin color. And you know who loves that on the census form? It's groups like the NAACP. So the people who are pushing this, there's a whole industry devoted to continuing to divide us on the basis of race. And I disagree with that industry. I've spent much of the last 10 years trying to call them out for their, what I call their racialism. It's not racism, it's racialism. And you're exactly right. And why are we dividing ourselves on the basis of race when we're all made with divine in the image of God? Okay. So I'm very much against that. And continuing to define people on the basis of race. Now, to the question of the United States, we're the only place in the world that has something like the 14th Amendment. We have the 14th Amendment that guarantees equality before law. That's revolutionary. It was passed after the Civil War. It's like having a spaceship in the 1700s. Okay? It's that radical in the scope of world history to have a constitution that says the law must treat everybody equally. Now, did we live up to that expectation? No, I get that. Jim Crow existed. But the amount of blood and treasure and human lives that were poured into the effort to eradicate racism and laws that discriminate on the basis of race is astounding. I have a, well, he didn't lose his life, but I have a great grandfather who lost his arm at Chickamauga. I wish I had a picture. So blood and treasure has been poured into this battle for the last 155 years. Actually, more than that, 160 years. So, yeah, America's got its faults. We're trying. Nobody's perfect. Remember, we talked about that this week about utopia. We're not there yet. We never will get there. But we can do our best to make it better. Kathy, you're in Texas. What part of Texas?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm in Montgomery County, Texas, just north of Houston, in the wonderful community called the Woodlands.
Oh, right. That's kind of near way out. You have an airport about 500 miles from downtown.
Well, possibly. And there's a lot of things that you were talking yesterday about, all the things that people can do. And all of us are frustrated, and there's a lot of things that we are doing and that I am doing. Tonight, our precinct chair, our CEC, is getting together to vote on censoring our governor to rein in his broad use of his executive power here in Texas.
Well, you know, boy, be glad you don't live in Virginia if you're worried about Greg Abbott or... do not move to Pennsylvania, whatever you do, Kathy, because I will tell you from a relative point of view, you guys have it super sweet in Texas. Okay, my name is Jay Christian Adams. That music tells us that our hour is almost up. It's been great subbing for Sandy Rios. I appreciate it on American Family Radio. Tomorrow, I'll be back, and we're going to talk about elections. That's actually what I really do in the real world. As I work on voter fraud at the Public Interest Legal Foundation. So tomorrow we're going to have Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation joining us. I hope you can too. Thank you very much. Sandy Rios for American Family Radio. Talk to you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.